What happens inside this room is meaningless compared to what happens outside.
Yes, sir!
Nature is timeless.
Yes, sir! Yes,
sir! I love you all.
Yes, sir! We love you too, sir!
Any questions?
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on your favorite movies. And today we have a very special Thanksgiving episode, very appropriate, as we talk about the movie that not many people are going to be seeing this week, The Menu.
That's right, Andrew. I mean, I can't think of a better movie to review on the week of Thanksgiving than one literally called The Menu, about food. This film stars Anya Taylor-Joy, Ralph Fiennes, and Nicholas Hoult, and it focuses on a young couple who visit an exclusive destination restaurant on a remote island where the chef, which is played by Ralph Fiennes, prepares a lavish tasting menu along with some fun surprises. I don't want to say anything more than that. This is a horror comedy film. It's directed by Mark Mylod. You might recognize the name from Succession and Game of Thrones on HBO. But beyond that, if you don't know what this movie's about, obviously stop listening, because we're going to discuss it in full-time detail. Don't yeah. watch the trailer. If you like movies that are kind of dark comedy, humorish, little creepy, kind of like Get Out, just go watch this film. This is some of the most fun I've had in a movie theater since Get Out. I think, you know, not many people have seen it so far. I do think it'll have some nice word of mouth, and people will be like, oh, have you seen The Menu? Yeah, it was weird, and like, but it was kind of good. You should go check it out. And what can I say? Like, it's not some sort of genius masterpiece, but it has a concept, and it completes that concept so freaking well. Everything about it just comes together so well done, no pun intended on the well done, but the acting is fantastic, it's funny, it's creepy, story's great. It was a lot of fun. Highly, highly recommend it. That's as good as a spoiler-free review I can give. Andrew, please tell me you felt the same way as I did.
I really did. This is one of those hidden gem movies that I feel a lot of people should definitely go out to see. I remember when we started our podcast, we saw a bunch of like indie movies, or kind of even, for example, like Unbearable Weight with Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal. Those are the kind of movies that do so well and deserve a much wider range of an audience. And The Menu fits perfectly in that. I had a great time watching Ralph Fiennes just do an incredible acting performance.
Whoa. Who the hell is Ralph Fiennes?
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Because Ralph. It's Ralph Fiennes.
What is he, like French?
He's British. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's weird. There's a reason I know this and you don't, Andrew. We know it's because I'm the Harry Potter fan. You're not.
That's right, because he did Voldemort. That's right.
Yes.
So Ralph Fiennes.
Anyway, go back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Okay, fine. So Ralph Fiennes, for now, I guess, I hope I'm not the only one, Jesus, that thinks that's how you pronounce his name. So Ralph Fiennes, his acting performance was so incredible. Like, even though he had like a stoic straight face the whole time, it's still, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too much into it, like an English teacher reading like Great Gatsby, but his facial like emotions just showed so much, even though it was like very, very subtle in the eyes or in the smile or something like that. But I had a fun time watching it. Anya Taylor-Joy, incredible as always. Last Night in Soho, The Queen's Gambit. We saw her in The Northman. She just continues
she's going
to pump
up,
out.
She's getting up there.
She deserves it, too. So, she has that star power. I love that. Other than that, I felt like this movie had an incredible premise that I think I mentioned to you, how you said it's like a feeling of watching Get Out again. I had a feeling of watching Knives Out again. Like, it was such a good like murder. I would say almost a murder mystery, but it's not, right? It's a horror comedy, because you don't know where it's leading up to. And that's how I felt watching the movie. In the beginning, I was like, what's going on here? Like, everything felt a little jumbled up and a little bit, you know, out of place. But slowly but surely, we got there. And I was like, ah, okay, now I know where this is heading. And it was a great change of pace. I loved watching the whole way through. It was fun. And then watching the food. Ugh, the food. I have stuff to say about the food, but it was a good movie.
I'm totally with you on there. I'm glad we both really enjoyed it. One of the things that stood out to me was a lot of the dialogue was realistic in a sense that it wasn't like so over the top about being obsessed with the themes that it was maybe trying to tell, and like being way too like deep and, you know, indie and shallow. Like, it was pretty straightforward. At the same time, it did a really good job of building up that mystery. You knew something was amiss, and you kind of knew what it was, but what keeps the suspense going is you don't know what direction it's gonna go in. That's what matters. Yes. And when it finally hits you with like the first kind of like major shock twist scene, you know, it really kind of gets you knew something was wrong and effed up, but maybe not to this level. And the way it balances those kind of like horror creepy elements with just being like I said, a dark comedy, like really genuinely really funny at times. Like I was cracking up throughout the film. The way it balances those two things is really what brings it together.
The John Leguizamo's performance as like the movie star guy, he was the comedy genius of the whole movie. He was so funny. I loved hearing his quips. It was like spot on. Nothing was cringy. Nothing was awkward. He was just hilarious. And then the three douche guys that were on their table, like they were kind of funny too. Even though I hated them, they were pretty funny.
One of them from Succession, actually.
Which one was it?
Yeah, so that was actually Rob Yang. He was one of the one who had his birthday. They brought the birthday cake out for him later.
Oh, that's the birthday cake.
Yeah, so he was in Succession too. So that was kind of a director-actor reunion a bit. But yeah, I mean, like, it was so good. Not to interrupt your point, but like each kind of like table, they all had like their own unique personalities. And that's kind of what I like really brought it together.
So we are going to throw out spoilers from here on out because we want you guys to kind of get immersed in like what we're talking about so you understand. But how like Santi just mentioned about a birthday cake. So like what was happening was we have all these like situations come up. Like one of the chefs killed himself in on the dining floor. And that was part of like the menu experience.
That was the first shocking scene. He's talking about his life, and all of a sudden, that's the one where it's like, oh shit! I had like a mouthful of like popcorn in my, I was like eating and whatever. And all of a sudden, like boom, this guy just blasts a gun into the back of his throat. I was like, holy shit! Like this is getting real.
It was surprising. I was like sipping on my blue icy, and I couldn't imagine what I was seeing right now. But then like stuff like that kind of continues on where you just get shocked after shock, and then out of nowhere like there's a moment of like tension release where there's three douche guys at a table, and I think this was after they were chased through the woods, right? I think it was after they were chased, and then because like the chef says, oh, you have some time to escape in 45 seconds, and if we catch you, we bring you right back. And so they all try to escape, they all get caught, then they all come back. And then one of the guys gets a birthday cake delivered to him by the chef who's like murdering all these people.
but even before that, when they were running away, Andrew, was the best scene not Ted, who was played by Paul Adelstein, but he's in the chicken coop.
The chicken coop,
he's just kind of sitting there, and they're like, special treat for the last person to get caught. He's like, all right.
That was so funny. Like he was that's so smart too, like hiding in a chicken coop. Like I would never have thought that, but man, that was smart. I don't know. I loved it. I had a great time watching the whole movie. Like I just can't get enough of how one thing I want to point out about Nicholas Hoult, the guy who played what was his name again? Tyler.
He played Tyler Beast from it.
I hated his character so much in this movie, and I'm sure like that's what they kind of asked him to be, like be an asshole.
Yeah, for sure.
But he was like a punchable asshole, like not even like a genuine one. Like Jesus Christ, this guy was so messed up, so rude.
Good actor. Yeah, then, because I think it really paid off. He did give off that really hated vibes, and as the film kind of slowly reveals, you kind of tell like what the hell's wrong with this guy. Something's off. And then when you get the, you know, obviously, guys, for those of you listening, full on spoilers here, but when you get the, you know, the twist that his character, Tyler, pretty much knew the whole time what was going on for months and months and months, but he was such a snob, so obsessed with this, coming to this restaurant, so obsessed with eating at Ralph Fiennes' character's restaurant that he just didn't care that everyone was going to die. He didn't care that he basically hired, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy, like a prostitute, to come with him because he needed a plus one. They won't let anyone in.
Yeah.
One person, and just kind of doing that, it really brought his character home to a certain extent, like how much of a sociopath he was.
Before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to move on to our next segment. Now that we gave you guys kind of our intro into the movie and our thoughts about it off right away, let's jump into what we liked and didn't like about it. And I think we both here have a little bit to say on both sides. So Santi, what did you like about this movie?
Yeah, so because this movie is literally called The Menu, you can have the horror elements right, you can have the comedy stuff right, but the movie won't really come together if you don't get the food right. You know, this is a fancy, luxurious restaurant where they give you, you know, probably, I don't know how much it costs, like, what, $100,000 per person or just some crazy amount?
Yeah.
And they just nailed the food. We'll talk a little bit more about that production later, but just the way the food looks, each single one is different. The kind of backstory they gave to the reasoning they're giving the food, like the one they gave, just like the sauces without any bread or anything like that. Like, it felt like a genuine, authentic restaurant experience. Like, it was like, if this was actually happening in real life, this is what the food would be, especially in that kind of beachy island setting. That's the main thing that really stood out to me. It's like, if they don't get that right, then the rest of the film kind of falls apart, but the food looks really freaking good. I mean, I can't say anything more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. The food looked, for what it was displayed on their tables, the food looked pretty good. Like the chicken breast or the chicken thigh, that looked so crispy. And like, if that was fake, I know we're going to talk about the production later, but if that was fake, which I don't know if it is or wasn't, that was really good because it looked delicious. But I think what I really liked about this movie was because it was a restaurant vibe in a restaurant setting, they did a great job at capturing the ambiance of if you were sitting there. Because as we are like focused on like one couple or one table, you can hear the conversations on like people in the background talking. And that's how it is like in a real restaurant. Like people are talking behind you and they capture that so well. I was like, wow. So I was surprised. Like,
very authentic.
Yeah, there we go. It was very authentic.
Yeah, the way everything kind of balanced and came through, it felt like, okay, like, they got the production, the set design and all that really right on the nail. I think we can both agree on that. That was one of the things that they really just completely nailed.
Definitely.
Anything else stand out to you from this film?
I think I mentioned most of it in the beginning where I definitely liked, was it, I'm already going to say it wrong, Ralph Fiennes.
That's it. You got it.
There we go. Ralph Fiennes. I love his performance, Anya's performance, everyone else. I feel like the comedy was there. I didn't feel bored. Oh my God. One thing that I thought was really unique that I actually enjoyed was how they were saying like the names of the food, of the dishes and like the ingredients. Yeah. And then we got to Tyler's dish. I was like, Tyler's bullshit. And it's just like random ingredients.
You could just tell. I could just tell from the beginning. It's going to be like, okay, this is going to be such a setup where this is one of those guys who's like, he's like a critique. He knows everything about this certain art form or whatever topic.
So annoying.
Except how to actually do it himself.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the head chef, I think it was, Julian Slovak, wanted to prove. It's like, you're just a fraud, man.
Yeah.
God, I would pay so much money to know exactly what he told Tyler that made him go freaking hang himself with his own tie in the head chef office. Like, what did he tell that guy? Was he like, listen, like, you are the biggest fraud I've ever met. What you're going to do right now is you're going to march into my room, take off the chef jacket we gave you, take off the tie, and go hang it up. But I got to say, I mean, what was he expecting? You know, you just put some lamb with some butter and leeks, and like, there was nothing special about that meal. And the lamb was already pretty much cooked. It was pretty much ready. He didn't do anything. He just threw it in there with a couple of leeks and what was it, like garlic or
and the butter? And stuff. The most unseasoned thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, what the heck was that? You know, what did you expect, man?
I hope all of you out there who are having Thanksgiving this week are way better at putting together a dish than this Tyler guy in the movie, because it was atrocious to watch. It was so sad. And he had me in the beginning. He was like asking for leeks, he was asking for lamb, for butter. I was like, I thought he had an idea, but then I see him like very like shakingly holding the knife and then like you're just throwing things in a pan.
That's the whole point. I think in a way, like, the movie was trying to say like he's like a fraud basically.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
Like he memorizes all this stuff, he knows what's in what. I mean, he has to have some sort of talent to do that, but at the end of the day, he's just kind of like, he's like a poser. You know, he's not in. You know, he thinks he's some like fancy foodie person, but he doesn't actually know anything about the nitty or gritty that goes on in the cooking world. Like you, Andrew, I heard you're quite the good chef.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Santi. Thank you. But
I mean, I wouldn't know. You never cooked anything for us. You know, we have these winter weekly retreat, yearly retreat that tickets for two. I think hopefully next time you'll bring something to the potluck that isn't pre-bought from the grocery store.
That is a perfect segue to what I was going to ask you. So I wanted to hear, Santi. I want the people to also hear this. Santi, what is like the best dish you can put together? Like, what would you make on a date night?
I don't know about a date night because it's not a very date night dish, but I do make a pretty mean, good butter chicken.
One
of the first things I learned how to make, and I don't want to say I've like perfected it. You know, I'm sure someone who's Indian would be like, listen, you're doing it wrong. It's got to be this kind of tomato. You got to use, you know, these ingredients. I make it kind of quick and easy, but it tastes like the one at the restaurant. That's all you're kind of really going for. That's the one I've probably gotten the most praise on. Something else, I got to give two because two of them I got really good at.
Okay.
I make a pretty good beef and / lamb gyro. Just kind of like putting it together. And then not needing to go out and get one of those skewer things, the gyro rotator that goes around. Yeah. I put it together well. I made the tzatziki sauce. I bought the bread or whatever, the pita, and I put it on. I was like, holy shit, this is actually pretty good. Now, did I innovate anything? No, I didn't. But you know what? I was able to follow the instructions.
That is the best instructor out there is YouTube. So I think anyone could do that.
But you've, I think you're more of like an artist, right? You come up with stuff yourself.
Oh, goodness. No, not at all. So this is how I feel. I feel like every man should do this. Every man needs to know how to cook three things or make three things. One breakfast dish, one dinner dish, and one dessert. I feel like every man should master those three things, and they can make anything else they ever want. One thing I love making for dinner, two things actually. I need to get you to try this, Santi. Is my favorite is a crispy orange infused salmon. It is.
Yeah, I'm not a fish guy. I'm gonna stop you right
really?
There.
Really, not a fish guy.
I'm not a seafood guy. To be, I can do like tilapia or whatever it is. The one that has like it's not very fishy. Uh-huh. But when it comes to like fish. I'm out. But I've had like raw salmon before from you know, like sushi.
Okay.
What is it called?
Sashimi. Yep.
Nigiri. I don't know what the difference is.
So, okay, I didn't know that you weren't a seafood guy. Okay. Yeah, so then in that case, and on our next retreat, I got to make you these adobo fried chicken wings. I think you'll really
That's
up your alley.
Perfect. Yep. Fried, deep fried oil. A little bit of seasoning, that's all I need. You know, none of that fancy fish stuff that...
I'm really curious what our listeners are, if they're chefs themselves. I know we have a lot of friends of ours who are med students or they're already have families in their own. So I'm curious to hear what, like, a lot of our listeners can make. And let us know if you're listening to this part of the podcast. So Santi, let's go back to it. Before I go on a little rant that I have planned out for this episode that I think a lot of people are going to, you know, attack me for... Let me hear what you disliked about this movie.
If there's one thing I really disliked about this film, if I'm being completely honest, there's not much. I don't like the nitpick. It does feel a little small in scale. It does feel like a TV movie in a way. Like there's some... like the shots of the food are really interesting, but beyond that, it's like something I would have thought would be like straight to streaming. You know, not because of the quality of the acting, not because of the quality... of, you know, the writing or anything like that. But it just feels a bit kind of like, it's a $30 million film, but it feels like it's a really small budget. I didn't really get that kind of, like, you know, the cinematography and all that was pretty normal beyond, like I said, the shots of the food. So in that sense, it felt a little plain. It's not super memorable. I also feel like some of the themes it may have been trying to touch on, like, it didn't completely get across. I did appreciate that they weren't trying to be too subtle about it, but at the same time, I think that there was more opportunity for some interesting commentary there, especially with some of the characters, the other ones sitting around the tables, not just the main ones. Like, it's like, okay, you have this interesting thing where he recognizes that the main character, she's, you know, she's from the service industry, essentially. It's like, okay, can they really build on that? Not really, you know. I think because they wanted to keep the pace going, it's pretty short runtime. But
yeah,
I would have liked to see a little bit more of that, but honestly... like, this movie has a goal. It has an objective. It sets it out. It accomplishes it. I don't want to sit here and nitpick, you know? Uh-huh. There's really not much out there to complain about. Do you have something that I didn't catch?
No, I think one thing that I would have to say what I didn't like about this movie was it was often confusing at times. Like, I didn't understand the point of dipping that one guy into the ocean or into the lake when he had like the angel wings on him. Like, what was the point of the angel wings? Did I miss that in the movie? Or
it was the angel wings. I don't think it was really explained. Oh, I know. Oh yeah, but because he was the angel investor into his company.
Oh, is that what it is?
And yeah, then, yeah.
Why did they kill him?
That guy was the owner of like the island and restaurant, and he was like his Julian's angel investor into opening his own restaurant. So that was the whole point of that. But I get what you mean. It's just kind of like it has these like side plot lines,
yeah,
kind of going up, like the story with the whole they have the laser engraved tortilla and like a lot of like there's like, oh, like the guy was, you know, cheating
yeah.
on his wife in a way, but like also trying to find someone who looks like his daughter. And then you have like obviously the three Wall Street crooks and like all the tax evasion stuff they did. It's like, okay, you spilled out some interesting concepts, and I thought it was gonna turn into like a sort of like conflict between the characters who were yeah. eating, but it didn't really go in that direction. So I think it's a really good point, Andrew, is that like there's some extra concepts in there that didn't really need to be there.
Exactly.
Like, why did you even introduce this whole thing about them being corrupt businessmen when you didn't really follow up on it?
Exactly. And then the whole, what was the door thing about? Like, I know Anya's character.
What was behind the door? I guess it was like his house. It was like his room where like the picture of him smiling, eating a cheeseburger.
Oh, that's
was.
Right.
I don't really know.
That's where the radio was, right?
Something like that. You know, but you're right. You know, they made it a big deal, and it wasn't like
it wasn't huge.
It wasn't like some massive twist out there where like 500 Ralph Fiennes just like walk out like it's the Matrix or something. A bunch of clones. Like, what's going on? You know. But the thing that was cool was that the way it ends. Essentially, I know we're talking about dislikes here, but the fact that they, you know, she's the only one who gets away. The fact everyone else basically, you know, they die and they kind of accept their fate at the end. It was a little like, I don't know why they're not fighting back, but the way it ends with the s'mores and all that, it was and the way Chef Julian commented on the abomination of s'mores, like crappy Hershey's chocolate and whatever
marshmallows are made out of. Imprisoned industrial grade granola or whatever.
Yeah. that stuff was like really, really good. It's like, wow, that's like actually like genius to think about from a writing perspective.
It really is. So one thing I want to touch on now that we get through our dislikes was something that's been tickling me for a long time. Something that this movie resurrected inside of me. And I want to know how you feel about this, Santi. So give me a minute. Give me a minute to like let my...
All yours. Folks, it is time for Andrew's Rants, our new segment in the Tickets for Two podcast.
It's so funny. There's an interview with Bill Burr, for those of you who know who he is. And he mentions that the bane of his existence is that he lets little things bother him. And I feel that to my core. Because let me talk your ear off for a second, people. What I very dislike is pointless theatrics in any fine dining restaurant. And let me explain. When they were in this movie, when they were putting together their courses, and they're like using tiny tweezers to perfectly place flowers onto their meal that you're just going to brush aside anyways, I think it's just nonsense. And then you end up paying an extra like $500 for three drops of like, what were they, that first course they were eating as like melon or whatever. Yeah. I think it's absolutely bonkers. And then you and I were mentioning this earlier, Santi, how, for example, Salt Bay's restaurant, wherever that is in the United Emirates,
and like he has a whole bunch, but
that one in particular, you are paying like $2,000 for like a tiny piece of meat, just
for some of them way more,
just for some guy to spill salt from his hand to his crusty ass elbow that probably needs lotion and onto your plate. And then you're just expected to be there. Oh my God. I see these videos, right? I see these videos of like these people doing too much. Like they serve you your plate, right? Three guys for one tiny plate. And then they're like doing like magic tricks with your knives and forks, trying to open up like whatever your food is and like combining everything. It's like, dude, like just let me eat. I don't need you to come here and put on a whole song and dance for me. So my thing is, when it comes to these fine dining restaurants, and then you just sit there and pretend like you're so high class and you're so much above the, you know, peasants below you, that you have this guy coming out on rollerblades just to hand you, you know, it's a piece of bread.
Andrew, it's experience.
And, no, it's not the experience. And you, and for you people who think that, you know darn right it's not the experience. You just want to feel like you're better than everybody else. So this is how I equate it. I equate people who think they understand the quote-unquote experience to, I want to say it, to wine snobs. Those people who go to wine tastings and they and they swirl the glass and then they tilt it to see the quote-unquote color and they smell it to get the bottom of the barrel and the oak from the tree that died 10 years ago. Like, you're just talking out of your ass and you know it. You know that a bottle of wine from up in Napa probably tastes the same as a bottle of wine, I don't know, Walgreens. They're all the same thing. And you cannot tell me that you could taste the difference. It's beyond me. And so that was my issue with the point in the movie where they were doing like the tastings without the bread. It was so funny to me that this is how people really are in real life. To me, that was a commentary that these people who pay like hundreds and hundreds of dollars for one night in like a restaurant that you gotta reserve, and it's like they will accept anything that's served at them because they feel like they don't want to be disrespectful. Like how when they were served no bread,
exactly.
They ate that shit up. Like they were tasting it with the spoon.
Well, a couple of them didn't, but the rest of them were like, specifically, Andrew, you're talking about the two critic chefs.
Yes, who were exactly at that. Yeah, and they're like, wow, this is actually a smart idea. This is revolutionary. Like, oh my God, yes. Shut up. Like, you know darn right it's not. But you want to pretend that it is to make yourself feel better, to make yourself feel like you could understand where it's coming from. But no, you're just being cheated out of a meal. You're being robbed in broad daylight of your money because you're not even getting the full meal. And that's what I hate so much. When these big, fancy restaurants, the more you pay, the less food you are given. It's like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, I get it. Like, you know, you want to treat out the misses, you know, here and there, Valentine's, you know, birthday, Christmas. I get it. You know, go do you. But if you're doing it on the daily just to feel better about yourself, reevaluate your finances because I'm sure your wallet is hurting. And I think that's as much as I gotta say about that. I have a huge problem with those kinds of restaurants, and I feel like I talked your ear off. So thank you very much for listening to my TED Talk, everybody.
Andrew, it was a great, great rant. Absolutely loved it. I agree with most of your points. I mean, you know, a lot of this food stuff, like editing, moving like little things around, it's obviously excess. I haven't had a fine dining experience. I'm not gonna lie, I think it's more about the experience. So when they do make it look nice, presentation is important. Obviously the taste is the most important thing, but for that one moment, it's all about a show, it's all about a spectacle. I think you're absolutely right though, trying to make it think like it's deeper than it actually is, just like everything everywhere all at once, you know, is and yeah, I mean, to be honest, people do that with films all the time. It's like, wow, like, you know, no, I think they were like, dude, like Power of the Dog, like this, that movie just sucks, man. That movie's boring and it sucks. Yeah. Stop trying to make it deep. That's just my opinion, obviously, but yeah, 100% agree. A lot of this stuff is definitely blown over, and people are, when they're presented with that, instead of like sticking to their opinion, kind of like our main character Margot did.
Yeah,
she was like, you know, like this is trash in her opinion. Yeah. That's why she wanted a cheeseburger at the end, not just because she knew that was like the way to his heart, but you know, she's like, just give me the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
She just wants some damn real food, which is fine. But at the same time, I don't want to be too hypercritical about those fine dining experiences until I've actually tried one, because I feel like it could just be a lot of fun. And sometimes they really are high quality food. You know, it really, like the flavors and whatnot are put together. But I do agree, like in this case, in this film scenario, it's excess. You know, God knows how much money each of those people had to pay to go experience that. Millions? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. They were all like billionaires or something. It was insane.
So that's all I gotta say about that. Thank you, Santi, for not making me feel alone in this, because I was actually kind of scared that I was alienating you. I thought you had a different opinion, so thank you. But
yeah, no worries.
Let's move on to our next segment to lighten things up a bit. I'm sure we want to talk about the production that went into this movie. I feel like a lot of you who come listen to us, you want to come out of our episodes learning something, you know, new. You want to hear something you don't think you would catch normally in everyday conversations about movies with your friends. So, Santi, I think you have a little bit of info on what went into making, I guess, the food of this movie. Tell us.
Yeah, going into making the food of this movie. So, essentially, they brought in a few head chefs and basically celebrity chefs from the world of like fine dining as consultants for this film. So one of them was food designer Dominique Crenn, who was actually the only female chef in the United States with 3 Michelin stars. And she's the main person who helped the filmmakers bring to life the dishes that we saw in the movie, trying to make them as authentic as possible, at the same time, like make it match the setting of the story, which was like an island in the Pacific Northwest. So that kind of like involved adding a lot of complicated foams and gels, you know, naming the entrees and whatnot, like the breadless bread play and the dish called scallop, one called scallops on boulders and all that. So, but what was really interesting is essentially, you know, you're making a movie. And we all know, like, in actual movies, a lot of times the food is, like, made cold. Like, the actors are just eating, like, stale 20-day-old bread. So you have to basically deal with the realities of the film set. So she had to recreate the dishes that the actors were eating, like, 5 or more times, essentially. Oh. So, like, imagine having – you talk about the hassle of getting, you know – all these ingredients and tools and trying to put everything together, and then it takes you like 20 minutes. Imagine doing that 5, 6, 7, 8 times. That would probably drive me nuts, but that's just part of the art and craft that went into this film.
Yeah.
At the same time, Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Hoult, John Leguizamo, they all got to actually partake in some of this high-end food eating during the film's shooting, which took place in Georgia. So that was pretty cool. They got to eat some actually fine dining during the film. It wasn't some typical Hollywood stale ass bread.
That's nice.
But yeah, it's interesting when you start to look into you know, what these kind of painstaking processes that actually go through making these films together.
See, that's the kind of stuff that we like to hear around here, Santi. Like, you always come in with these amazing
always
facts.
Always coming in with the facts, man. I gotta get that always background. It's all about what goes into it. It's all about just like the food. The movies, it's all about what goes into the making.
Hey, man, that was pretty clever there. Do you have any more for us?
Yeah, I got a couple more. So this movie was actually written by Seth Rice and Will Tracy. And this idea came to the writer Will Tracy. He dined at a restaurant called Cornelius. I don't know how to pronounce this, but Suomate restaurant. I think it's from one of the Viking countries in Norway or something. So it was during his honeymoon, and then he suggested the story to his friend Seth Rice, and that led to the writing of the film. It was actually originally going to be directed by Alexander Payne, who did Nebraska, The Descendants, Sideways, great director, and Anya Taylor-Joy was not originally cast in the film. It was actually another redhead, Emma Stone. I guess they really needed that main actress to have red hair. But Ralph Fiennes, he stayed with the production even as they recast the main actress, even as they recast the director. Eventually, because of scheduling conflicts, Emma Stone dropped out, Alexander Payne dropped out, and Mark Mylod, who I mentioned earlier in the podcast, directs a bunch of episodes for Game of Thrones and Succession. I'm sure he's done some other movies as well. Basically came in and they filmed it in Savannah, Georgia, and that was that. You know, they brought on all these great consultants for, as I mentioned earlier, like Dominique Crenn. They put this pretty damn good movie together.
It seems like a very well thought out movie too, because I feel like when they make something like this, like any kind of movie, you can easily trip over any kind of, I guess, continuity error or any, you know, things won't always connect. They really landed it pretty well, and I gotta give it again to the actors in this, like Nicholas Hoult, Ralph Fiennes, Anya, like they all did great. John Leguizamo.
How about Hong Chao? Hong Chao was amazing in this film.
She was fantastic.
She was freaking awesome. I remember her from The Watchmen, but she was absolutely like, she was, I think, to me, like the star of the non-star of the show, essentially.
She terrified me. Like, she actually had that thousand-yard death stare that would scare me into my seat.
Yeah, she was creepy as hell. Before we get into our scores, Andrew, I want to ask you one question, and I think you know what it is. Any dish in the film right now, which one would you want to eat?
I want that chicken thigh. I don't know what they made that.
Oh, the chicken thigh got your eye.
Yeah, I don't know what they made that with, but that looked so moist, so juicy, so thick. Like, it mesmerized me. Like, I wanted that. And the way that Tyler Nicholas Hoult's character was eating it up, it made me want it even more.
Oh, yes. I gotta ask you, Andrew, what would be lasered in your gravy on your tortilla?
Jesus.
What deep, I mean, dark secrets do you have that they would put on there?
They wouldn't find anything. I am a man of God. I am a good boy. I don't do anything. What would they say
I know
you?
I know what it is. Well, for me, it's the fact that I have a secret podcast aside from this about movies. No, I'm just kidding. but for me, with food-wise, man, I hate to be basic, but I got to go with the all-American cheeseburger and fries, because that freaking burger looks really, really damn good. I know it's just a cheeseburger, but it was just double stacked, two pieces of cheese on each piece of meat, some grilled onions. That's all you need. Get that lettuce, get that tomato, get that shit out of here. I don't want any of that in my cheeseburger.
That's true.
Give me the bread, the burger, the cheese, some grilled onions. That looked really damn good in the film. And Aaron later, you know, revealed her name as from Margot or whatever. You know, she had a good time eating that, and
it was
kind of weird. She was eating it as they were like all dying and stuff. But I guess she didn't care at that point.
I'm not gonna lie. I think this is one thing I'm gonna die with. I don't think tomatoes belong on any cheeseburger. I feel like when you have the heat from a cooked patty and you put that onto
raw,
a burger,
nasty tomato,
it just gets soaked. It's disgusting. Okay, hold on. How do you build your burger? This is huge. This is crucial. How do you build your burger?
All right, so I
start
off
from bottom up.
Bottom up. I add some sauce. I got to get my my sauce on there. Whatever it is. Usually like a mix, it's like a, you know, burger sauce essentially.
Wait, then so no bun? Not, like, just sauce? Just no bun?
No, on the bun.
Okay, you gotta say that.
I said the bottom bun. The bottom bun, I add the sauce. Then I add some pickles onto there. You know, gotta get some pickles. And then I add obviously the patty, the cheese, probably some grilled onions, patty, another patty, cheese, depending on how many I want, a little more grilled onions. Somewhere in the middle, I might sneak in some lettuce just because I think the crunch adds a little bit of texture, and I think it helps break up the taste. I know it's cold, but it's not like all gross and gushy like a tomato, but that's pretty much how I put it together. I'm definitely going to sauce up the top bun as well, but that's essentially how I assemble it, Andrew. I got to have pickles. I got to have pickles in my cheeseburger. Yeah. You got some special... Okay. Chef method to do this?
So this is how I feel a cheeseburger or a burger should be put together. You gotta toast both buns first. You gotta have them stiff. You can't have them soft, or else they get all filled with moisture, and then you got a squishy bun. You don't need any.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I toast my buns too. I was just skipping that part, man.
Gotta toast them, and I feel like right away, like you mentioned, you gotta put some sauce. For me, it's like an aioli, some, you know, sriracha, some mayonnaise, some you gotta have some kind of aioli sauce on there. And then I feel the crucial part, that this is where I put my lettuce. Right on top of the aioli. And then I put the patty. Because I want the lettuce to be kind of a little dish. So any juices that come out of the patty go onto the lettuce and not into the bun. And then... thank you. And then I put the cheese on the patty as it's getting cooked on the pan.
Absolutely,
so I don't put the... I don't. Yeah. So then I put that on top of the lettuce. And then I put the grilled onions. I like to add a little bit of sautéed mushrooms onto mine. But then you're right. Got to add some pickles in there. And then, then one more aioli on the top bun. Smash all that together. Put that little fancy wooden stick right down the middle. And then you got yourself a perfect burger. That's how I feel.
I can't agree with you any more or less. Well, no, I mean any more or less. I mean, like, this is a burger, it's a burger. As long as you got the main ingredients in there, you know, the grilled onions, the cheese, the burgers, the pickles, the sauce, I think you're good to go. You can assemble it however you want. You can do it the McDonald's way. You can do it your way. I don't think McDonald's it matters at that point. But I do like the idea. I do like the idea of the big lettuce. So you're not about the shredded lettuce. You're about that big piece of lettuce that's going to catch all the juices going on. Yeah, you're on that big
specifically
buttered lettuce.
Specifically buttered lettuce, guys. That's a game changer, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely no tomatoes in these burgers.
No. You don't need to add any of that. No. But okay, one thing. Before we get into our score of the movie, I want to talk a little bit about what we feel we got out of like the movie, like some meaning out of the movie, what we took away from it. Santi, did you have any kind of secondary opinions on what you felt this movie meant to you or in general?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it had some themes trying to get across about like privileged people versus unprivileged people and the appreciation of things. But there was one thing I really was thinking about. It was like, so the characters in the movie, though, like specifically Nicholas Holt's character Tyler. He's kind of like eating. He's enjoying the spectacle of the guy shooting himself and getting the chef getting stabbed in the leg and all that. At the same time, we're the audience. We're sitting in the movie theater, eating our popcorn, reading our snacks, and we're witnessing this spectacle. We're like enjoying this theater of shock value. Essentially, we've paid money to go watch this, similar to how these characters pay money to go watch, you know, whatever show, whatever restaurant, whatever kind of experience they have. I don't know if that was intentional. It's kind of there. It's kind of not. But it's just something that kind of stood out to me about this whole witnessing, you know, entertaining things that are like, like shocking at the same time being entertained by it is kind of how I felt.
Mm-hmm. So I had a different view on it. Actually, not really different than you, but this is how I felt. I felt like this was a movie that described how much out of touch the quote-unquote elite, the rich, are to, you know, someone who's not so high class, so high up there. Like, I loved how Margot, she said that she was from, like, what, Arkansas? And how she was talking about chef and everything. And then what I really loved is how this movie turned out. Obviously, it made complete sense that Margot was the one to survive because she was, you know, poor, middle class. She knows how to work a restaurant because, you know, you don't have that much money. So usually when you go out and eat out, you're going to take some stuff home with you. And I feel like every restaurant is going to honor that, a takeout box. So she was so clever to think that I'm going to ask for a to-go box and they have no intention to not deny you that because that's how a restaurant works. And how, you know, it doesn't matter how chefs was so like crazy in his head. He was going to honor something that he knows all his life, which is, you know, the takeout system. And I felt like that cheeseburger that she asked the chef to make brought back a little humanity in him. Like, hey, go back to your roots. Remember when you made, you know, a basic burger to perfection? Before you
he had
got,
that smile
you know,
on his face.
Yeah, exactly. It really brought him back to where he came from, and she was really smart to ask for that. And she followed the rules of the restaurant. It made complete sense that when you're poor, you're always gonna ask for food to take home because you're gonna eat that, you know, for breakfast, for lunch tomorrow, for dinner that same night. Mm-hmm. And the rich are always gonna finish at the restaurant, so that's why they felt, you know, almost like they didn't want to be disrespectful. They didn't want to ask for food to go home.
Absolutely. They feel like they're above that. They're exactly. above asking for a to-go
yep.
box.
They're so out of touch. But Margot was so smart to do that, and I give it to her. And to all my other poor commoners out there, I feel you. I see you. Let's continue asking for those doggy bags, because who knows if that will one day save our lives.
Let's get some cheeseburgers, man. I'm craving them right now.
Oh, honestly, is In-N-Out still open? I don't know. So with all that put together, as our listeners know what that means, Santi, what do you give The Menu out of 5 tickets?
Andrew, I think The Menu is a really, really fun movie to watch in theaters. The acting is great. The story is suspenseful. It has a great payoff. The ending is fantastic. Highly, highly recommend watching this film. I can't give it anything more or less than 4 tickets out of 5. I think it sets out and accomplishes exactly what it intends to do. And I think it's going to be a little special, you know, cult classic-y maybe in some time. Doesn't have a whole lot of replay value. I don't think I'll ever watch it again, but doesn't make it any worse of a film for me. Andrew, what's your score?
I love that. So when I saw this movie and I came out of it, I had such a fantastic experience. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It was so crazy at times. I was caught off guard almost the entire time. I did not predict where it was going. And I think that's what a great movie accomplishes, when you don't always predict what is going to happen. And mm-hmm. all put together with the incredible performances by these incredible actors, the cinematography was fantastic, with the lighting, with the ambiance, with the feel of feeling trapped. Like, even at times, like the screen would be shot at like the chef or at a patron, and you'd still see like one of the quote unquote security guards, you know, on the side. Like, that still makes you feel like you're being constantly watched. It's crazy. It's cool. And I can't give it any more. Like you said, a perfect 4 out of 5 is a great rating for this movie. If you have the opportunity, like we mentioned at the beginning, go watch it. It's one of those hidden gems that you're not going to be disappointed by. And I feel like one day you might have it in your movie library. It's great. It'll get you hungry. It'll make you want to go out and spend hundreds of dollars to watch a guy drop salt onto his elbow onto your plate.
Exactly. It's going to make you want to go to a fine dining. Well, I don't know about that exactly, but it'll make you hungry. Maybe not so much for the fine dining, but maybe for a good cheeseburger.
Maybe you'll get some inspiration. Maybe you could make something up yourself and one day open up your own restaurant and charge better than Tyler. Up the hoo-ha.
I hope you're better than Tyler. Whoever's out there and wants to go learn cooking after this movie, just be better than Tyler.
Be better. So thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. And next week, we have a very special episode coming up right after our Thanksgiving break. Santi, tell them what we're going to be talking about.
That's right, Andrew. We're going to be reviewing a sequel. No, that is not Avatar The Way of Water, because it will not be out by then. But it will be Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, the sequel to the original Knives Out, which I thought was a really, really fun hit. Even though I despise Rian Johnson for what he did to Star Wars, can't deny the fact that he's a very talented writer and director. I love my murder mystery films, so I'm really looking forward to this one. This film, again, stars Daniel Craig as Detective Benoit Blanc, and it's going to be about a tech billionaire, Miles Braun, who invites his friends on a furry getaway on his private Greek island. Maybe it is a geeky island. I don't know. Maybe they're out there selling Pokemon cards or something. But it'll be an island murder mystery. Who done it? Daniel Craig. He's awesome. And there's a whole bunch of actors in this, like Edward Norton, Kate Hudson, and so on. Already has really good reviews, just like the first one. So Rian Johnson, he's done it again.
We can't wait to review that, and we hope all of you come back to enjoy another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. We will see you next time.
We'll see you then.
Fine dining!
No, chef.
A fine fucking mess!